All these are symptoms of imposter syndrome, the feeling of inadequacy a person feels in their own abilities. You feel inadequate, you feel fake or phony doing something, and you might be telling yourself things like, oh, this is not for me, this is too hard for me, I can't do it. It's easy for other people, but it's really hard for me. Yeah, or I feel weird, I don't feel like myself when I do it. If you think about it, it's actually insecurity.
Aw, yeah, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where every single week we take you beyond the classroom to speak English confidently and naturally, connect to the world, and actually use your English as the doorway to living your greatest dreams. I'm joined here in the Cross Atlantic studio by the one, the only, Axel Pose. Thiago, how's it going?
Hey, Ethan, I'm doing very well, thank you. How have you been?
I've been going swimmingly. Almost quite literally. I went to the beach before recording today, which was a nice way to freshen, to get my mind clear so that we can record a hell of a podcast today.
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel so envious of you guys who live by the beach. It's so good. Sounds so good. Do you go every day or often or?
No, I don't go as often as I would like to. I need to get there more. I used to go running, but now I've been more focused on going to the gym and more recently rock climbing. So I need to find, especially before summer's over, I need to get myself to the beach.
Maybe it's one of those things that you have, but you don't use so much.
When I didn't live near the beach, I thought when I live near the beach, I'll go there every single day. But now that I live near the beach, I kind of want to go live downtown and be by all the hustle and bustle, you know?
The hustle and bustle. What does that mean, Ethan?
When we say hustle and bustle, we mean all of the energy, the excitement, the things that are happening, which generally we say for a city, for example. But I'm digressing here. Thiago, I wanted to get your two cents about a conversation that I had the other day.
Why do you need two cents? Might be worth defining that, right?
Yeah.
If you ask for somebody's two cents, you are asking for that person's opinion on a topic.
Exactly. It's a nice way. So not literally asking you for money, but I had a conversation the other day with a friend who's going to return to studying English. And I thought it would be really interesting to ask your two cents to get your opinion on what we were talking about. So he's Brazilian, but he lives in Spain and he actually speaks native like Spanish. He's actually taken the exam. Now I'm forgetting what it's called, but it's from the Cervantes Institute here. Mm-hmm. So he has a C1, which is almost native like Spanish. And he's wanting to return to studying English. And so I was encouraging him to speak English with me so I could just give him some feedback and maybe some tips and stuff like that. But he really didn't want to. He felt nervous just thinking about speaking English with me. And, you know, it was very obvious he's struggling from some sort of linguistic inhibition. And despite having, for me, it was shocking because he has this remarkable bilingual aptitude in Spanish. And he's someone who, to me at least, he seems otherwise very confident. So for me, it was very surprising that it was something that he was nervous just thinking about. But by pressuring him and perhaps with the influence of a couple glasses of wine, I finally got him to open up and speak to me for a couple minutes. And he made mistakes, but his accent was really good. I didn't see him making the typical pronunciation errors that a lot of my Brazilian students and other Brazilians who are at a lower level speaking English tend to make. So for me, he really has no reason to be embarrassed because he sounds great when he speaks. He's slow, he makes mistakes, but he doesn't sound like there's anything that he should be embarrassed about. But obviously he has some sort of psychological block there. And so I asked him after we switched back to Spanish because we were with his partner who speaks Spanish, who's from Spain. And we, you know, I asked him, why are you so embarrassed? Why is it so nerve-wracking for you when you just think about or when you speak English, because you sound great. And basically what we got into is the story that he tells himself is that he was able to achieve his really high level in Spanish because it's similar to Portuguese. But when he's self-doubting, he believes that he won't be able to reach that level in English because it's not as similar to his native language, even though he worked really hard to get to where he is in Spanish. It's not like something that just came to him without hard work and effort. I identified at least part of what he's experiencing as imposter syndrome. That's like part of what I wanted to discuss today. And we continued chatting with him and his Spanish partner. And his Spanish partner has like C2 level. I believe he's taken the test and he has C2, which is the very highest level that you can get. He's lived in several different countries. So we got to talking about this and it was really interesting because we discussed how many English learners struggle with these cognitive barriers with English that they probably wouldn't suffer from if they were studying any other language that's not a lingua franca, like English, because there's all this baggage that comes along with English. There's this societal perception that people have in non-English speaking countries of people who have gotten to advanced level speaking English. In other words, people who have achieved like that high level of English fluency have something that learners who don't have that yet convince themselves that they can't be successful without. And that could be things like money, time, or opportunities to study or live abroad or take the best courses and so on. Success, maybe status, all these sort of things. So it's true in both Brazil and Spain, as we were talking about in our conversation. Most countries that I have lived in, I've observed some version of this. And yeah, I'm pretty sure in most countries, at least developing countries or countries that maybe aren't as economically powerful, this is something that you're going to be able to observe a lot. So thanks for allowing me my soapbox there. I want to ask you, what do you think about this? Is this something that you have observed there in Brazil, that you've observed in your own learning, that you've observed with your students?
Yeah, absolutely. What you're saying about imposter syndrome is very true. If you think about it, it's actually insecurity, right? Let's say that imposter syndrome is a fancy term for insecurity. There is insecurity there in your skills, in your abilities to perform a task successfully. I think that that is very common. And there are reasons for that. One reason could be cultural. It reminds me of this term that we have here in Brazil called the... I'm going to say it in Portuguese, the complexo de vira-latas, or complexo de vira-lata, síndrome do vira-lata, you know. Translating that to English is like stray dog syndrome. Yeah, that's how I would translate
it. What is a stray dog, in case people aren't familiar with that?
It's a stray dog that doesn't have an owner, and usually it's a dog that is kind of mixed breed. And historically speaking, stray dogs... we're not the favorite types of dogs by people. Maybe nowadays people are getting more, let's say, affectionate about stray dogs. But historically speaking, stray dogs, they were not seen as with positive eyes, let's say. So that's where this term here in Brazil, complexo de vira-lata, or stray dog syndrome, comes from. I think a Brazilian writer coined that term in the 50s. First, he was talking about soccer, football, but actually... this translates to other areas. And I feel that there is that in my country, for example, a little bit, you know, this feeling of inferiority, this complex of inferiority, in the sense that since we are a third world country, we believe that things that come from first world countries or more developed countries are better. And we also feel like we are not enough, we are not good enough, or we can't perform as well as maybe somebody from one of those countries, you know. I am very hopeful that this has been changing now, but it could be a factor. Yeah, so why are we talking about this? Because one way to maybe fix that insecurity that you have, I would say, is reflect, make this reflection and analyze maybe where this insecurity is coming from. Might come from your culture, maybe, you know, the way you were brought up by your family, by your immediate peers, or something more generalized, like I just described, this syndrome here in Brazil that we have. So as you were sharing the story about your friend, you said that he was finally able to open up to you at some point. What does it mean when a person opens up to somebody else?
Right. It means that you generally you make yourself vulnerable in a situation. So we might also call this, in some cases, we might call this, for example, a heart-to-heart. That's when you have a deep conversation with someone about something that you're struggling with emotionally, an experience that you had that maybe was traumatic or doesn't even need to be the level of trauma, but that was difficult for you or something like this. So this wasn't exactly a case of being a heart-to-heart, but he opened up in the sense that it was something that was really difficult for him and he put himself outside of his comfort zone to try that experience, to try speaking English for just a minute with me, you know?
Okay. And you also mentioned the word embarrassed.
There's a lot of different words here, aren't there? There's embarrassment. There's a lot of learners will say shame. They'll confuse that they feel ashamed, which tends to be more of a direct, like a false cognate, maybe, because shame is that you did something morally wrong in general. So I wouldn't say I feel shamed when I speak English, because it's like you're doing something that is offending someone in some way, which should never be the case when you're speaking English. But many of us will feel embarrassment because, of course, it's not our first language. It's normal when we learn another language that we feel embarrassed, because it's inherently awkward to speak a language that we don't have all of the experience that we have 18 plus years in most of our listeners' case of speaking their native tongue or native tongues if you're bilingual.
You used a really cool term here. You said nerve-wracking. When something is nerve-wracking, what's that?
That's how I would feel about going onto a stage and speaking to a huge audience. I can do it in podcasts, I can do it in video form, but if I was actually in front of a live audience that I can see and I can see them staring at me, that would be a nerve-wracking experience. It's something that makes you feel anxious, makes you feel panicky, like you want to escape from that situation.
Makes you on edge, right?
On edge. That's another nice way to say it. Yeah.
And you also said self-doubting.
Yeah. If you doubt, it's that you're not certain about something. So if you self-doubt, it means that you're not certain about yourself or your abilities. So if you self-doubt your English, in this case, it means that you're not sure whether the other person will understand you, whether you'll have the vocabulary necessary, whether you will make lots of mistakes, which you definitely will, and so on.
Would it be similar to second guessing as well, would you say?
That's a even better way to say it. I'd say second guess yourself. Yeah.
All these are symptoms of imposter syndrome or insecurity. Nice. And you mentioned lingua franca. English is a lingua franca nowadays. I think it's nice to define that. What do we mean when we say that English is a lingua franca?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, lingua franca comes from Latin, and it literally means a French language, because French used to be the lingua franca. And the lingua franca is the language that people use to communicate with each other. So actually, in that situation, our lingua franca was Spanish. But in general, when people talk about lingua franca nowadays, they're referring to English, because in, I don't know what percentage, I'm throwing this, pulling this out of a hat here, but 90%, let's say, of situations where it's two people from different countries communicating, that communication will be in English.
I think I'm done, yeah. There is more vocab to be defined, but let's keep going.
And people should use the app. If you missed anything on the app, you get all of the most difficult vocabulary defined for you.
With flashcards, right?
With flashcards too, so you never forget them. So you can find that linked in the description or by searching for Real Life English in the Apple app or Google Play Store. And one thing I wanted to comment on here that in my research for preparing for having this discussion with you, besides imposter syndrome, something that I stumbled onto was called achievement paradox. Now, achievement paradox is something that learners perceive that achieving fluency in English requires more than it actually does. So the reason I bring this up is that it is a lot of work to get to an advanced level in English. Of course, I'm not saying that it is not. I'm not trying to sell you any magical pill that's going to make you a C1 or C2 level English speaker. But I bring this up because I believe that for most of us, when we see someone who is excellent at anything, so I'm learning rock climbing now, I see someone who's, you know, just killing it, they're flying up the rocks. It's very easy to think that that person has always had that, or they have some sort of special talent, they have some sort of special skill, they have something that I don't have. It's very easy for those thoughts to creep in. And we talked about this actually in our last podcast, all about self-talk. We really have to be aware of our self-talk that we have. So when it comes to observing someone who is a successful English learner, it's very easy to think these things, that that person has something, some advantage that I don't have, and so I won't be able to get to the level that they are at. And that's not the case, because you didn't see their whole process in learning the language. You haven't seen all of the long nights, long hours of studying. You haven't seen all of the mistakes that they made. You haven't seen the first conversations that they had where they felt panicky, on edge, like we were saying. They've been through all those things already. And they got to where they are because they embraced that experience. They were willing to stretch themselves outside of their comfort zone and go through, especially dedicate the time and go through the hard efforts to get to that place. So this is the case of anyone that you see that is an expert in what they do, is that they spent a lot of time. They made a lot of mistakes. They put in a lot of effort. So a lot of learners might say, they might be asking themselves, why do I always feel like I'm faking in my English? And they might think that this is even unique for them. But you can get there too. Thiago worked his ass off to get to where he is today with his English. You can get there too, but you have to be willing to make all those mistakes, do all that hard work, and seem like a silly or incompetent or childish English speaker, right, at some point.
You know, you were talking about success, right? We tend to only look at the success the person has achieved, and we tend to forget that behind that success, there's a lot of many years of hard work and dedication and maybe sleepless nights, right, involved. Mm-hmm. And also I want to point out here that about imposter syndrome, everybody feels it. So it's important to mention that it's okay to feel insecure from time to time in your own abilities about something, you know? I see that also in successful people as well. Successful people also feel that from time to time. Mm-hmm. So you might feel it when you are a beginner, for example, or when you are in the process of learning something new, because this is you getting out of your comfort zone. That is true. But also, I have seen very successful people who have achieved wonderful things in life, but they still, from time to time, they might feel insecure in their own abilities, or they might feel fake, like, why am I here? I mean, I shouldn't be here. Yeah. And I feel insecure with my English sometimes as well, depending on the day I'm having, or depending on if I slept well the night before, or for whatever reason, right? But it's important that you are okay with this. Maybe don't be too hard on yourself. But also it's important that you work on building up your confidence, yeah, more and more. And there are ways for you to do that.
One of the videos I saw even said that imposter syndrome isn't a great name for this, because it sounds like something that is a sickness or something that only some people catch or suffer from. And that's not the case. All of us at some point, with something that we're learning or some experience that we're having, will feel imposter syndrome. So they also called this imposterism. I think that's even a nicer term for it, is imposterism, because everyone at one time or another is going to feel imposterism. Even people who get to the level of mastery, of supposed mastery, will often feel that sort of anxiety that I'm a fake, I'm a fraud, right? Someone's going to catch me at some point and realize that I'm just making it up as I go.
I got to share a story about that, because I think we've been talking about music a lot recently. And I've already mentioned Metallica here, one of my favorite bands. And they came to Brazil in 2022 for a series of concerts. And they passed through my city here, Curitiba, and then they went to São Paulo. And then their last concert was in Belo Horizonte, I believe, in 2022. And then in that last show, something really interesting happened. The lead singer, James, he, at some point of the show, he stopped before playing another song. And he just opened up to the audience. He said, "Hey guys, to be honest with you, I wasn't feeling so good today. Before coming up on stage, I was feeling a little bit insecure. Like, oh, I'm an old guy now. I can't play as accurately or as fast as I used to.
I gotta tell you, I wasn't feeling very good before I came out here. Feeling a little bit insecure, like I'm an old guy, can't play anymore, all this bullshit."
You know, those, that BS, he says, yeah, that we always tell ourselves. And then he says, but these guys here, then he pointed at the band members, right, that were with him on stage. These guys told me, "Hey, if you are struggling on stage, we got your back," right? And then it was a beautiful scene, because, you know, he was open and vulnerable at that moment to a whole stadium of fans about how he was feeling insecure that night. And then after he said that, the other members of the band came up to him and hugged him. But you see, he is a successful guy in his craft. Metallica is maybe one of the best bands of all time, right? And he still feels this insecurity from time to time. And the cool thing is that he was open and vulnerable enough to share that. Yeah. And he had the support of the fans and also the band members. So I would say one way maybe for you to fix this insecurity or this imposterism, as you said, Ethan, is by talking to people you trust about it. Maybe find a good friend that you trust, or maybe your spouse, or maybe somebody else, and just openly talk about it. When you feel insecure, or when you feel not at your best, talking about it can be healing as well. And it can give you strength to keep going.
Opening up to someone, as we were saying earlier. So I wanted to comment on that, but I wanted to first take advantage because there were some interesting expressions you used. You said BS. What does it mean?
I'm going to say the word bullshit. Yeah, it's short for bullshit. And so all those bullshit things that we tell ourselves, oh, you know, I can't do this as well as I did, or I'm a phony, I'm a fake. Yeah, this is all BS. It's not true.
You can also tell someone that if you don't believe something they're saying, it's like bullshit.
Come on, that's BS.
That's not true. Exactly. And one other expression you said, got your back, or got your back. There's connected speech there, right? Got your back. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
When a friend, for example, tells you, hey, man, I got your back. It's like, hey, I'm here for you to help you if you need, to give you support if you need. You're not alone. So it's a reassurance, a kind of a reassurance, right? It's a way to reassure the person that, hey, I got your back. You're not alone. I'm here with you. Yeah.
So what I wanted to bring up, something else that came up when I was researching for this conversation, was a term called pluralistic ignorance. I thought this was really nice. Wow. It's when we feel like we're the only person having experience, even though other people also are having that experience, because no one's actually saying so. No one's being vulnerable and voicing, hey, I'm experiencing this. Hey, I'm feeling this, and so on. Just like you mentioned from Metallica, he wasn't, maybe at first he was suffering from this, but then he opened up, right? To share that panic, to share that fear, to share those feelings. So all of us probably can, for me, the first thing I think about is when I was a teenager, because every experience you have when you're a teenager, you think it's just me. There's something wrong with me, and no, this isn't happening to anyone else. And so I just need to shut up about it and fake, right? Fake like this isn't happening to me. When exactly what you need in that situation is to open up to someone, say, hey, I'm having this problem. Hey, I'm suffering from this, to share those doubts that you're having, because it combats that. It's like a cure or a medicine for imposter syndrome. It's actually talking about it. So the thing that we really don't want to do in those moments of being vulnerable and sharing that we're suffering from these negative emotions or this panic or whatever it is in your case, and that's exactly what you need in that moment, is to tell someone about it. And especially, I was going to say, it's really important to have your tribe. This is why it can be really important to find a community. If you find a community of people who are learning English, for example, like we have the Fluency Circle, which is our community of English learners that are using our courses. And a lot of people, this is really helpful, because you have this group of people who are going through the same experience. You're in the same boat, right? This is also why I used to like to go to language exchanges or do a tandem, which is when, you know, one-on-one with someone, you're doing, for example, 30 minutes. If I want to learn Portuguese, for example, then we could speak in Portuguese for 30 minutes with Thiago, and then we could speak in English for 30 minutes. So Thiago would correct me for 30 minutes, and then I correct him for 30 minutes. And I'm saying that this is helpful because you're in the same boat as that other person or as that group of people. You're all experiencing the difficulty of speaking another language. There's a lot of shared emotion, shared experience, and you can open up about some of these things, some of these doubts that you're having, right?
Just backtracking a little bit, Ethan, I wanted to ask about two pieces of vocabulary here. You said that you stumbled on some research, some information. You stumbled on some information on your research. What does that mean when you stumble on something?
It means you find something by coincidence, so without intending to.
Nice. Another phrasal verb you used, which is nice, is creep in or creeping in.
I think we brought that up in the last podcast, but to creep in is to quietly enter some place without someone knowing. And here I used it figuratively. It's like it enters into your subconscious without you even being really aware of it. So it's something that you really have to look out for, because you start feeling all these negative emotions and you don't even realize why that's happening, because it just has creeped into your brain. And I wanted to ask Thiago, because we brought up this, well, I was chatting before, right, about the pluralistic ignorance and so on. And I was wondering if, when you were learning, was there anyone who you had who is that trustworthy partner or that mentor that you looked to, who you felt like you could open up to?
That is a good question. I think I got that more when I started teaching, actually. Once I started teaching at 21, I think my fellow teachers back then, they were those supportive figures, I would say, because they were more experienced than me. I was just a young teacher starting out, and I hadn't been speaking English for a long time then, but they had been at it for years already. So they helped me in so many ways. Yeah, in so many ways. Whether it was giving a tip, a language tip, maybe a pronunciation tip, or teaching me a new word, or teaching me how to teach something specific to a class. So I think I got that more once I started working, actually.
A teacher can be really great too if you aren't in that situation, if you're not actually going to teach yourself. Mm-hmm. Actually paying someone who is your teacher, I think especially a private teacher who is there to, gives you a sense of security, right? Like you're mm-hmm. paying them, they have to put up with all these things that you're having self-doubts about, all these yeah. things that you're scared about, making mistakes, yeah. the not having a native-like accent, if that's one of your triggers, and so on. Mm-hmm. And so gives you a layer of security there for some of this imposter syndrome. And I think it's one of those things that for many people will go away with experience. So the more that you speak, it's going to start actually reinforcing your identity as someone who can speak English. So then you will not feel like an imposter. You won't feel like you're faking it. You might still, like, even when you get to advanced levels once now and again, you might have this feeling like I'm an imposter, I'm a fraud, I'm faking it. But just knowing that that's a regular, something that happens to everyone. But with practice, you'll feel this less and less often.
This is actually my favorite way, I would say, to build up your confidence in something by actually doing the thing you are insecure about, doing it more often. The more you do it, like you said, with practice and time, the more you build up your confidence and the more these negative feelings go away. You might still experience them from time to time, but they are not as frequent. Yeah. I was listening to this podcast the other day, and the speaker was talking about the importance of finding evidence to build up your confidence. For example, I don't feel confident as an English speaker. I don't feel confident in my speaking in English. So I need to find evidence for myself that I can speak English, that I can be confident, that I can have a conversation with people. And how do I do it? By actually speaking with as many people as I can, or even with myself. We have the app, which is a great resource for that, right? Mm-hmm. Talking for 4 or 8 minutes there with people. Why? Because the more you do it, the more you willingly put yourself in these uncomfortable situations, the more that will serve as evidence to you that, hey, I'm doing it. You know, I'm speaking, I'm communicating with people. So I can do it. And then if you keep doing that often and for enough time, it will come a time when you don't even realize it, but you will kind of look back and say, oh, I'm doing it now. You know, I am speaking English confidently. I am connecting with other people and communicating. Focus on getting the work done, getting out of your comfort zone, and try always to improve one little thing every time you engage in that activity.
There was one thing I wanted to circle back to. I believe you mentioned this earlier, but the whole thing about the identity. So I had a story that when I was living in Brazil, the first time I was living in Belo Horizonte, that I met a Spanish couple. I became friends with a Spanish couple. And the woman of this couple, she spoke English. Sorry, not English, Portuguese. She spoke Portuguese. She didn't have a high level in the language, but she was confident and she really embraced the accent. And so she sounded great when she spoke. Now her husband, on the other hand, I would even say he had a little bit higher level than her if you were to test their level, but he didn't try at all to actually have a Brazilian accent. He sounded exactly the same when he spoke Spanish and Portuguese. And I actually brought this up one time when we were having dinner. Why don't you try it? It's fun. You can play with it. I think the accent, especially in Minas Gerais, it's very pronounced, right? So it's something that you can grasp onto and imitate pretty well. And he said that he didn't want to because he just didn't feel comfortable when he tried to speak like that. So he didn't want to make the efforts to try to imitate and have that native accent, which, you know, there's arguments, especially for English learners. I'm not saying like you have to speak like a native, of course. Mm-hmm. But in this case, that he wasn't even willing to try. He wasn't even willing to embrace that silliness. So I was curious if you had this experience when you were learning English, Thiago. Did you feel like that imposter syndrome of the awkwardness of speaking especially with another accent in another language?
At first, yes, I felt that because I tried to emulate as close as possible what I would listen to in the movies and series I watched and the music I listened to. So I would try to emulate, to imitate exactly as I heard it, the sound, the mm-hmm. articulation, the tone of voice. But many times I would feel fake doing it. Like, man, I mean, I don't speak like this in Portuguese. Why do I have to do this in English? A great example is the TH. Yeah, the th and the th, right? At first, I was like, we don't have this sound in Portuguese, unless you have a lisp. If you suffer from a lisp, okay. But normally, we don't have that in the language, right? Mm-hmm. I feel silly doing this. I feel weird. But I kept doing it. And then that's the point. If you keep doing it, if you keep, let's say, tapping into that uncomfort feeling enough, after a while, it will become natural for you. It's never natural when you start. But if mm-hmm. you keep doing it intentionally, it becomes natural.
I was going to say, I've learned several languages outside of English. I'd say I haven't learned any to the same level that your English is, of course. But doing this, at some point, I realized that with every language that I learned to speak fluently, my identity was different when I spoke that language. It was a little bit different. There's a base of who I am, Ethan, you know, my core and everything. But there was a layer on top of that that would change with every language that I learned. The Spanish speaking, Catalan speaking, Portuguese speaking, German speaking versions of me were all a little bit different. And this is something that a lot of people have a lot of trouble accepting, that they're a little bit, they almost have to sacrifice some part of their identity. And I think this is why it's so difficult for some people. Like I gave the example of my Spanish friend in Brazil. I think he wasn't willing to sacrifice that part of himself and embrace the silliness that you feel at first when you're speaking another language and embrace a new version of himself that he would be as a Brazilian version of himself. So yeah, this is something I think that's really interesting to reflect on, is who are you when you speak English?
I love that because some people find it limiting. Yeah, like you said, oh, I have to, in order for me to speak, to improve my pronunciation in English, I have to sacrifice my, let's say, I don't know, my country of origin. No, you don't. I find that it's expensive, right? The more languages mm-hmm. you learn, the more personas and identities you form. On top of that, yes, you still have your core identity, where you come from and everything, but think about it as you are expanding your identity. You are not limiting it, or you're not mm-hmm. sacrificing anything, and you are developing personas. I don't speak a third language, so I can't attest to that, but if I were to learn, yeah, right? Yeah. If I were to learn a third language, like Italiano, for example, yes, like Italian, I would probably develop another persona in Italian, just like I have a persona in English, a persona in Portuguese. Probably my Italian persona would be a little bit different also, yeah? And I think that's the beautiful thing about that.
Yeah, what you said was better than what I said. You don't have to sacrifice part of yourself. You get to expand, add on to the beautiful person that you already are.
Yeah, just add more layers. And, you know, you become a beautiful human being like this. You know?
An underlying theme in everything we're talking about here, I believe, is stretching yourself, embracing the silliness, embracing that childlike feeling that you have when you're speaking another language that you haven't had the years and years of exposure to that you do in your native language, expressing that natural discomfort that you have because you can't express yourself as you would in your native tongue. And the question that I had for you, Thiago, is anyone who watches often, they know that you don't mind coming across as a little bit silly. You don't mind making voices or... there's even one of our podcasts that we did, you know, a couple months ago where you were imitating a witch or something like that. That was just like, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. And even on our team, the reason you're Axl Pose is because you become this other person when you're singing. You can sing Guns N' Roses and you sound a lot like Axl Rose, who's the lead singer. So I want to ask if you have any tips for how learners can do more to embrace that silliness and feel more comfortable when they are speaking English.
What you said earlier in the episode can come in handy here. The idea that we all go through it. We all feel those things. You know, we all feel insecure from time to time. We all doubt ourselves or second guess ourselves from time to time. Even the most successful among us or the beginners, we all feel that. So maybe having that in mind, that you are not alone in feeling that, maybe that gives you some comfort to try different things and be a little bit silly, because we are all humans, right? We are all people and we all have those insecurities. So I think reminding yourself of that could be a good tip that I could give here. You know, remember that you are not the only one who feels that insecurity or that fear of maybe exposing yourself or making yourself look silly. Yeah, everybody, probably your friend next to you, is feeling the same thing. The difference is that they don't vocalize it. They don't say it, right? But everybody is suffering, yeah, in their own way by themselves. So I guess remember that. And then that might give you the let's say, the confidence to step into that silliness and being okay to look ridiculous or sound ridiculous. Yeah, because we are all people. Yeah, you know?
You probably don't sound as ridiculous as you think you do.
Exactly. Either. And that's the point. I mean, in our heads, we might think like, oh, I'm going to sound ridiculous if I do this, for example. And I don't know. You know, maybe I am, but maybe it doesn't sound as bad or as ridiculous as maybe you think in your head, right? And people enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, you come across as more authentic as well, you know, because you show off your personality. So I think you only get to gain when you are vulnerable and when you are open. To show maybe something you are struggling with, or, you know, to be silly, yeah, to be playful. Yeah. People tend to like you more when you do that, actually.
Start saying it all as a journey, that you're at the beginning of a journey. You're going to get to where you want to be. You're going to get to be that person who's successful, that the person that other people are looking to, saying, man, I wish I could speak English like he does. But you have to know that you're at the beginning of that journey. Other people, they're ahead of you. Think of it literally like a path. Like, other people are just further down that path than you. And you're going to have to show up every day. You're going to have to put in the hard work, of course. But you're here, and you want to, if people are watching the video, I'm actually showing you, like, you're here. You want to go there. So just one step at a time, and you'll make it. And like we were saying, if you're having the imposter syndrome about speaking, you at some point you gotta get out there. You gotta start speaking, right? It's a good metaphor, might be, for example, that I'm sure most people have had the experience at some point of being about to jump into water that you know is cold. You know it's going to be an unpleasant experience those first seconds when you get in. But then, depending on how cold it is, most of us won't jump into freezing water. But usually you're there for a minute or two and you get used to it, right? It becomes more comfortable. So the same thing, that you just need to jump into the pool knowing it's going to be cold. You need to jump into that experience having conversation, knowing that you're going to feel mixed emotions, feel nervous. Your palms are going to sweat, maybe. Without a doubt, you're going to make lots and lots of mistakes, but the only way you can correct those mistakes is by making them. So you're going to get used to it. Just like a cold pool, eventually it doesn't feel so cold anymore. Your temperature adjusts, and the panic that you feel at first having a conversation, the more that you're, and even for some people, this will go away in a matter of a minute speaking, because you start saying like, okay, I'm doing it. It's okay. You know, it's not as bad as I thought it would be. So we've already been talking about this. Thiago talked about the app. It's a really great way for you to practice your speaking. It's the only place where anytime, anywhere, you can just press a button, connect to another learner for a 4 to 8 minute conversation. The great thing about this too, we were talking about how it's really useful to talk to people who are in the same boat as you, meaning that they are going through that same experience. So you're connecting, most of the people on the app are English learners just like you are. So that means that they are going through the same process. You don't need to be so worried about seeming like an imposter. It's something you could even talk to them about. How long have you been using the app? When did you start feeling comfortable? And so on. And probably a lot of people are going to tell you, no, I'm still nervous before every conversation, but then it gets better. And of course, we've been using a lot of very advanced vocabulary, and we haven't been defining all of it. So you can listen to the podcast there with a full transcript and get all of the most important vocabulary and expression definitions. With vocabulary flashcards, you never forget them. So all that said, we want to not neglect to give a shout out to one of our very special app users.
This one goes to Signtar Hia. This is an amazing app for me. This app helps me to speak confidently with other people in the English language. Now I think I'm improving my speaking skills. So guys, you should use this app.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time to leave us that 5-star review in the App Store. If you want us to shout you out, you can also do that. And without a doubt, don't wait any longer. Take the plunge into the cold pool by downloading the app and having a conversation today.
I gotta ask that, Ethan. What does it mean to take the plunge?
To take a plunge is to dive into a body of water.
There you go.
All right, so today we couldn't talk about imposter syndrome without bringing one of our favorite TED Talks for all of you. And this is one, I'd say it's even very foundational for Real Life English because it was one that we watched very in the early days there in Belo Horizonte with Justin, my co-founder. And it kind of set some ground for us with the whole conversation around confidence. Confidence is something that all language learners aspire to have. We all want to feel confident and natural speaking a language. So in overcoming imposter syndrome, she has this really awesome TED Talk, and we wanted to bring an excerpt from that for you guys in today's conversation.
And Ethan, what's the speaker's name again?
Oh, I didn't mention that. Amy Cuddy.
So the end of my first year at Harvard, a student who had not talked in class the entire semester, who I had said, look, you gotta participate or else you're gonna fail, came into my office. I really didn't know her at all. And she said, she came in totally defeated, and she said, I'm not supposed to be here. And that was the moment for me, because two things happened. One was that I realized, oh my gosh, I don't feel like that anymore. You know, I don't feel that anymore, but she does, and I get that feeling. And the second was, she is supposed to be here. Like, she can fake it, she can become it. So I was like, yes, you are. You are supposed to be here, and tomorrow you're gonna fake it, you're gonna make yourself powerful, and, you know, you're gonna... and... You're gonna go into the classroom and you are gonna give the best comment ever, you know? And she gave the best comment ever. And people turned around, they were like, oh my God, I didn't even notice her sitting there, you know? She comes back to me months later, and I realized that she had not just faked it till she made it, she had actually faked it till she became it. So she had changed. And so I wanna say to you, don't fake it till you make it, fake it till you become it. You know, it's not do it enough until you actually become it and internalize.
You know, I gotta say that I love how excited she sounds when sharing this story about her student. And even that emotional moment, that she felt a bit emotional at some point. She even stopped talking a little bit because she remembered that, oh, I, the professor, used to feel the same way. I used to feel that insecure. I don't feel that way anymore. So now I'm in a position to help and say, hey, you belong here too, yeah? You will overcome this.
I love that. Yeah, I took note that she says, you got to talk or you're going to fail, which sounds like exactly what we're saying here is that if you don't start speaking English, you're never going to, you're going to fail at becoming fluent. You're going to fail at becoming that confident, natural speaker that you're desiring to be. And I love too that she ends with saying, fake it until you become it. Because we've been talking about imposter syndrome. We've been talking about many learners feeling like they're faking it and not knowing why do I feel like I'm faking it? Why do I feel like this isn't my language? Why do I feel so silly when I'm speaking it? And what she's saying here is embrace that. It's good to fake it. Fake it at the beginning. And if you do that enough, at some point you won't be faking it anymore. So it's fake it till you become it. So there's some really nice vocabulary, connect speech, and I believe in some grammar here that Thiago was nice enough to take note of. So do you want to walk us through some of that?
Yeah, let's begin with the connected speech here. Ethan, could you explain to us how she pronounced the words first year together here? What is the connected speech that goes in that?
So the end of my first year at Harvard.
Right, so those are both content words. So I would probably usually drop that T in first, but I would say first year. And I would connect them, but neither of them is reducing so much for me. But she said what I heard is first year. So we have that T plus Y, like got your becomes got your, right? That T plus Y oftentimes becomes a ch, especially if one of the words is a function word, one of these words that reduces. So she did that here. Maybe it's her peculiar, her own accent that she pronounces it like that, or it could be because she's speaking faster, she's nervous and so on.
Let me try to do it. How would you say it again yourself?
I would say first year.
First year.
Exactly.
So without the T, that is like the S is connecting with the Y, right? First year, like that?
First year, exactly. So just drop the T.
First year. Cool.
All right. What's the next piece of learning you brought here?
I think I brought the word entire. She says the entire semester. That's the whole semester. When you do something in its entirety, you do it fully or completely. So the whole semester, the complete semester, the entire semester. So next up we have, she came into my office. I love this phrasal verb here because she's using the phrasal verb. Because she could have said, she entered my office. But this sounds rather formal. She entered my office. A more colloquial, natural way of saying this is, as she did here, she came into my office, or she came into my office.
Came into my office. I really didn't know her at all.
That's a good point, because phrasal verbs, it's the sort of thing that separates advanced speakers from intermediate speakers, especially if you're coming from a Latin language. There's often a cognate that you can use in English, but the more native sounding way to say something would be to use the phrasal verb. So just like you said, enter versus came into, or run out of versus what would be the formal word there.
Oh, the milk finished or ended, you know, like that.
Maybe the milk finished. Yeah, that'd be good.
But running out is much better, right?
But run out is, most natives would say, we ran out of milk, not the milk finished.
You know, one of the things I love about phrasal verbs is that, because, you know, if you think about it, imagine a person who uses a lot of phrasal verbs, like a native speaker, for example. If you analyze the words themselves individually, they are really simple. They are really simple basic words like came, into, run, into. I'm sure that learners, when they see those phrasal verbs being used in subtitles, for example, in movies, they understand every single word. But what they're missing, what they're lacking is learning the combinations and what the combinations mean. What does the combination come into a place mean? Or what does the combination run into something mean, right?
I'm imagining a learner, the first time they hear that, watching a TV series, we ran out of milk. Like, thinking like, milk running? Like, yeah. You're picturing a carton of milk running out of the fridge? You don't know what's the context there, right? That's one of those good things to embrace that uncertainty and stuff. And I think it can help you to overcome that imposter syndrome is by learning more vocabulary, learning more phrasal verbs that will help you to sound more natural when you speak, so you'll feel more confident.
That is very true. And actually, another possible reason for imposter syndrome is that maybe you lack something in the language to give you that confidence. So if you feel like you need to improve your vocabulary, maybe learn more phrasal verbs to feel more confident, focus on that. So learn more vocabulary, learn more phrasal words, because, you know, that's going to increase or boost your confidence over time as well. Ethan, she says here that her student came in totally defeated. What does it mean, like, you know, when you are defeated?
Yeah, it's a really nice use of that word there. So literally, if you defeat someone, it means you beat them. So you might say that Barcelona defeated Madrid in a soccer game or football game, depending where you're from. But here she's saying that she's talking about she felt defeated or she looked defeated. So it looks like she doesn't know how to overcome the situation that she's in. It's that look of despair. That might be another word we'd use, despair, that you look hopeless.
Nice. Despair, hopeless. Great words there. Mm-hmm. And she also says, I get that feeling. I don't feel that way anymore, but she does. And I get that feeling. What does that mean when you say, hey, I get that feeling?
Yeah, it's what we've been talking about the whole podcast, is that we get that feeling that you have when you feel like a fake, when you feel like an imposter, when you feel too nerve-wracked to possibly speak a language. We get that. Mm-hmm. It basically means we understand. We've been there. We've been in your shoes.
So it's a phrase you can use to empathize with the other person. Hey, I get that feeling. You're not the only one.
Exactly.
Ethan, connected speech here. I'm going to say this phrase normally, and then I would like you to explain and demonstrate the connected speech she uses here, because the phrase is, and you're going to go into the classroom. How does she say it, and what's going on there?
You're going to go into the classroom, and you are going to give the best comment ever.
Right, so first we have and your, which could become and your in some situations, but I saw here, because the audience was still applauding, she actually put a space there. So she didn't do connected speech. She said and waiting for the audience to be quiet, you're going to, so it'd be, and you're gonna go into the classroom. So we have there, your gets reduced, your becomes your. Then we have going to go becomes gonna go, of course. Almost anytime you see going to, it's gonna become gonna in spoken English. And into here, she wouldn't necessarily need to do this, but she said inda with like a tap D, inda. She could have said into the classroom, but maybe because the is reduced afterwards, she says inda the classroom. So you're going to go into the classroom.
You're going to go into the classroom and you are going to give the best comment ever.
We do have a little grammar here. She says, I realized that she had not just faked it. This is a really nice example of combining the past simple tense with the past perfect tense, because I realized that's in the past simple. She had not just faked it. You see, she had not just faked. So the structure is had, in this case, negative, had not. And then the verb is in the past participle, faked. So the past perfect, remember, something that happened before another past action. So we start with the primary point there, I realized. And now we're going to talk about what happened before that point she realized. So I realized she had not just faked it. And then she continues. She had actually faked it until she became it, and she had changed. So up until that point in the past. Yeah, so really nice example here of combining past perfect and past simple in the same sentence. More connected speech here. I want to say to you.
I want to say to you.
I believe she said, I want to say to you. So say ends with a vowel sound, say. And that T now is between two vowel sounds. It's between an a, because we reduce two usually to ta. And it's between a and a. So say da, American T there. And wanna, of course. Again, like pretty much anytime we have going to, it becomes gonna. Anytime we have want to, it becomes wanna. Wanna say to you.
And finally, the word internalize. I like this word. She says, do it enough until you actually become it and internalize. And that's it. It's okay to feel fake at first, feel insecure. But if you keep doing that and practicing, you will eventually internalize, or it's going to become second nature to you. It's going to become natural.
Based on the conversation that we were having earlier, we could say that, of course, you want to internalize vocabulary. So it's you never forget it. It's like if you use our app, we have the vocabulary flashcards exactly for that. You internalize the vocabulary, you never forget it. Or you might internalize a feeling of confidence that you'll be okay speaking English. You might make mistakes, but that's okay. So now we want to externalize some wisdom, hopefully some more wisdom, with our question of the day.
All right, the question here comes from Fabiano. Fabiano says, I am an upper intermediate level English student, and honestly, there are moments when I feel exhausted. But when I come here and watch you guys, all my knowledge becomes useful, and it makes me happy and proud of how much I've been learning these months. Unfortunately, I don't know how to learn anymore, but I'm working on it. Ethan, what I find interesting about his comment is this last part, actually. First of all, Fabiano, thank you for the wonderful message. We are glad to see that you have been getting value out of these podcast episodes. But he says here, Ethan, I don't know how to learn anymore or more, because he's an upper intermediate level English student. He might be feeling that plateau effect, right?
Yeah. In other words, the question that I hear from a lot of students is, I feel stuck. What should I do? Right? That might be another way of putting it. And this happens to all of us. It's what you were saying, the intermediate plateau, right? That at some point, especially when you're a beginner, the learning comes so fast. But at some point, if you're just doing the same things, it's not going to work anymore. You're going to just realize that you're learning really slow, or you're not learning hardly at all. And so a lot of learners are like, what happened? I was learning so fast and now I'm stuck. I'm not making progress. And I think what you need to do at that point is to start doing new things, start trying things that you haven't done yet. Especially, I would say that if you feel uncomfortable, then that probably means that you're on the right track. If you try something new and you're like, oh man, like this is so awkward, or I just feel completely out of my comfort zone, that probably means like, okay, this is the thing that you need to be doing, because it's making you stretch past your point of comfort.
I like that. It's a good way to gauge that. Yeah, am I uncomfortable doing this? So I should keep doing more of that, because growth and development happens when you get out of a comfort zone, right? I would recommend to Fabiano, like you said, Ethan, just complementing the same thing, challenge yourself more. So if you feel stuck in that intermediate level, or like there's nothing else to learn. You feel like that. So maybe analyze what kind of material you have been using lately. For example, maybe when you watch a movie or a TV show, you understand everything or pretty much everything, and it's kind of easy for you. It's become comfortable. I don't know. Start watching TED Talks or lectures, academic lectures on a subject you are interested in. So deliberately look for more challenging material, videos, podcasts that have richer vocabulary. That's a great way to challenge yourself and get out of that comfort zone.
Or even if that's happening to you and series or movies really are your bread and butter, then you might want to try to choose ones that are on topics that are probably going to present a vocabulary set that will be new for you. Try watching Peaky Blinders, and then, you know, we'll come back to talking if you're still feeling like it's too easy for you.
There you go. One question there, Ethan. If movies and series are your bread and butter, you said, what does that mean?
Yeah, like it's your thing. It's the thing that you do, the thing that you love. So thanks again so much, Fabiano, for taking the time to leave us that comment and that doubt. It's really a pleasure to be able to help you guys to solve your burning questions, your biggest doubts in learning the language. And if you have a burning question for us, you can leave it down in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Or if you are just listening, you will find our email in the show notes, along with a link to SpeakPipe, which is a place where you can actually leave us an audio message, and we'll even play it here on the podcast if you prefer that. So we look forward to getting your questions and answering them here on the show. All right, so we wanted to just wrap up today's episode by doing a quick recap of some of the key takeaways, things that we hope that you will remember from today's episode, that you will go out and try to apply to your own learning in your life. So the first thing that kind of stuck out to me is we came a lot to this theme of having someone that you can open up to, someone that you can confide in and share. If you're feeling imposter syndrome, actually make the efforts to share how you're feeling with someone that you trust, or even try to find some sort of community of English learners, if it's with English or, you know, community of anything else that you're struggling with imposter syndrome with, so you can have that feeling of being in the same boat together.
On top of that, I would also recommend do the work. Do more of the thing that makes you feel uncomfortable or insecure, because the more you do it, the more you will grow, evolve, develop, and you will come to a point when you will realize that you are actually doing that without any problem at all. So if speaking is your thing, speak more. If you feel like you need to improve vocab to do it, focus on that. If your listening skills are poor and you don't feel confident in them, practice listening more deliberately. Do the work and trust that with time, those negative feelings tend to decrease.
Yeah, it's that whole thing that Amy Cuddy says about fake it till you make it, or even fake it until you become it. So embrace those feelings. It's okay to feel like someone who's faking it, like an imposter, like a fraud, and embrace even that those feelings of silliness, that childlikeness that comes with learning a new language. The more that you do that, the more normalized it will become for you. I can definitely say that after having learned several languages myself. It's just something that's part of the ride, part of the journey. So, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy it while it lasts, because someday you're going to be that advanced speaker that people are saying, like, man, I wish I could speak English like they do. And, you know, that fun part of the language learning journey, it'll just be a fond memory.
Beautifully said. Wonderful way to close today's episode.
All right. So thanks so much for joining us today. Remember that if you are enjoying these lessons and you want to support us, a free way that you can do that is by leaving us a 5-star review in the Apple App Store or Spotify or anywhere else that you listen to this. And of course, if you're on YouTube, you can support us for free by subscribing, hitting the bell so you don't miss a single new lesson, and liking this episode. And that way, you know, it will get out to more learners and more people can have fun, take their English to the next level with us. And finally, remember that no matter what divides us, be that imposter syndrome, that which unites us is far greater, which I think definitely is imposter syndrome. All of us experience it. So we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.